Oh, Father, I just ask you to please help me to relax. Help me to just clear out my mind so that I can think of nothing but the eternal destiny of those who are going to hear the gospel this morning. Lord, I thank you for those who are already saved. But for those who aren't, please open their heart, open their eyes to the spiritual realm so that they can consider the reality of the day of their death. Oh God, please let the gospel into their hearts. Please cause the law to pierce their heart. Holy Spirit, bring conviction of sin, of righteousness, of God's judgment to come. Bring people to a place of genuine repentance and humble faith in Jesus. And I thank you for the opportunity this morning. Please empower me to speak your word in truth and in love today. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Excuse me, can I have your attention for a minute? My name is Kirk Cameron. Maybe some of you guys have seen the TV show Growing Pains. Maybe you saw the Left Behind movies. I'm currently on a television program called The Way of the Master, which I do with a friend of mine called named Ray Comfort. He's not here this morning. But you might be wondering what all these people are doing and who they are. And these are people from all around the country and some from different countries who are fans of the television program. And it's a really unique show. What we do is we go out on the streets and we talk with people about stuff that really matters. It's a reality show based on spiritual topics. So we go asking people, hey, do you believe in God? What do you think happens when you die? Do you think there's a heaven? Do you think there's a hell? What do you have to do to go to heaven? Stuff like that. And we talk to people from all different backgrounds and have great discussions with people. And I want you to know that I grew up as an atheist who just laughed at people who went to church and believed in God. That all changed when I was about 18 years old because I finally understood some very important information about why Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus is in the news a lot, the Passion of the Christ, very popular topic. And one of the things that these folks are here to see is they're here to see how to communicate the message of the gospel in a very real and authentic way. You know, one of the reasons I didn't go to church was because church to me was phony. I'd walk into these churches and it seemed like a big show, a performance. It was entertaining, but I didn't feel like I believed what the people were saying. You'd see them say one thing on Sunday, they'd act a different way on Monday. And today, people want things that are authentic and genuine. Thousands of years ago, the way the gospel was communicated was often someone would come out into an open-air setting like this where people gathered. Now you guys are here to go see a judge this morning, and so it's a great atmosphere for us to talk about this. So please listen carefully. About a month ago I was at a camp for terminally sick children and their families. It's a camp that my wife and I run. It's called Camp Firefly, and we invite six kids who are very, very sick. Most of them are not going to live to see next summer. Their families come with them. I talked to a father one night about the fact that his child had cancer, and he was talking about whether or not they were going to amputate her leg. They needed to because the cancer was in her leg, but they weren't sure they wanted to because they didn't think she was going to live long enough for it really to make a difference. And this was a heavy conversation. And if you think about it, whether you have cancer or not, one day you and I are going to die, right? We're all part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. And we often think about what it's going to be like when we die. I mean, you should think about it because the day is coming. What do you think's on the other side? Do you believe in God? Do you think that there's a heaven? Will you go there if there is? Do you think that you're a good person? Yeah, come on up here. You can get in and see the judge a little quicker if we move up. While we're moving up, hello, good morning. Okay, so here's what I want to do with you guys. I want you to ask yourself this question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Okay? Most of us would. But it's interesting, you got to know this. The Bible says that there's not one good person on the face of the earth, not even one. And the reason it says that is because it says that only God is truly good. That we see ourselves better than we really are. If we could see ourselves from God's point of view, it would be a different story. Okay? And what I want you to do is to take the good test. It's a test that we've come up with based on the fact that God says He's going to judge you according to how you've lived your life when you die and stand before Him. And the standard He will use is the Ten Commandments. Okay, it's written in the Bible, it's respected by almost every religion in the world, and even atheists know that it's wrong to lie and to steal, to murder. Okay, that standard's written on your heart regardless of your religious background. All right, here's the test. Have you ever lied? Of course you have. All right, so that makes you a what? A liar, right? You only have to tell one lie to be a liar. You only have to murder one person to be a murderer, right? Rape one person, you're a rapist. Okay, have you ever stolen anything? Question number two. Even if it's small, even when you were younger, taken something from your parents from the store, not been honest on your tax reports. Okay, if you have, that makes you a what? Somebody tell me. If you've stolen, it makes you a thief. Okay, here's the third question. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Excuse me, I need an opening door for my employees to come in. I got no opening for my employees.
We'll get it for you. Okay. Have you ever looked with lust at another person? Have you looked lustfully? That means entertaining sexual thoughts in your mind toward another person that you're not married to. Okay. If you have said yes to those three questions, then by your own admission, you're a lying thief and an adulterer at heart. That's how God sees you. And that's only three of the Ten Commandments. There's seven more pointed at you. So, if you stand before God and He judges you by that standard, will you be innocent or guilty? If you're honest, you'd have to say guilty. Therefore, will you go to heaven or do you think you'll go to hell? Some of you are saying, I'll go to heaven because God is forgiving. I'll say I'm sorry. Or I do say I'm sorry. Well, think of how that would work in the courtroom with the judge today. Judge, I know I robbed the bank. I know I murdered that person, but I'm sorry. I'm hoping you'll forgive me. Well, the judges say, you should be sorry. What you did was wrong. And I am a nice guy, but I can't let you go just because you say you're sorry. That's right. The judge is not God. God and His judgments and His commandments are true. And He will make sure that justice is served. You can't bribe the judge or simply say you're sorry and have God let you off the hook. Okay, there's consequences to sin. And if God treated you according to your sins today, the Bible makes it clear that you would not be headed for heaven, but a place called hell. That's God's punishment for those who have sinned against Him. And that should concern you tremendously. God doesn't want you to go to hell, and I don't want you to go there, and you shouldn't want to go there either. And God has made a way for you to be forgiven. This is God's love for you. Listen. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross. He lived a sinless life, the life that you couldn't live. And then He laid down His life and sacrificed it on the cross, taking the punishment that you and I deserve upon Himself. It's like you going into the courtroom today guilty of a serious crime, and because you can't pay your fine, you're going to be going to prison. And then what if somebody came in and paid your fine for you, and the judge set you free? You'd be very grateful. That's what God did for you 2,000 years ago. We broke the law, the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus paid our fine. And the Bible says after He died, 3 days later He rose from the grave. He conquered sin and death and hell. And God can set you free from the courtroom if you will repent. That means to turn away from sin and turn your heart to God and say, God, please forgive me. And put your faith or your trust in Jesus Christ, the one who died to save you. That's God's gift of love to you, so that you wouldn't receive justice on your day in court with Him. Now here's the thing. I've told you this. I've told you the truth. I'm not lying to you. But you've got to decide what you're going to do with it. You can either forget about what I'm saying and show up in front of God with all of your sins as evidence of your guilt and receive your just punishment, or you can obey the gospel. And I suggest you do it today, because you can't guarantee you're going to be here tomorrow. Just say, God, I've sinned against You. Please forgive me. Change my heart. And thank You for sending Jesus to die on that cross for me. I believe in Jesus. I believe He rose from the grave. And today I want to follow Him as the Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you've been playing church for a lot of years.